Well, good morning. It's great to see you, both of you. Just kidding. No, but seriously, it's awesome that you are here. I mean, give yourself a gold star for making it. You are here. You're breathing. Thank you. Thank you for being here. My name is Michael Sieber, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it is my pleasure to get to bring the word to you this morning. And so would you join me in praying for this time? Father, we praise you. We are grateful for another year that we get to walk on this earth. And we know that the life we have is only because of you. And even for all the hard times and the good times, we praise you. We give you glory. I pray that this time would be glorifying to you, that my words would be your words, that you would use the word of God to spark in us a challenge, to inspire us to whatever you have for us this year. And we're grateful for your word, your love letter to us. We ask for your blessing over this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year. We say Happy New Year a lot, right? But, you know, I'm not really into the word happy. My kids will tell me, because, you know, what is happiness, you know? So my theme for today is how to have a healthy New Year. Healthy. I think healthy is something that that we can all get behind. And so four steps to a healthy new year, brought to you by Isaiah 43. Okay, so we have a tradition of saying Happy New Year to each other, and most of us have a tradition also of making a New Year's resolution. Are you one of those who makes New Year's resolution? Well, what is the definition of resolution? The Oxford Dictionary defines resolution as a firm decision to do or not to do something. A firm decision to do or not to do something. I don't know about you, but when I make a firm decision, it doesn't always end up with firm results, unfortunately, if I'm being honest. Am I right? Any of my people out there? Any people out there? And so, you know, anyone can make a resolution. It's the holding of a resolution that matters. So here are some resolutions from famous people, from historic people that I'll share with you. Maybe you'll recognize some of these. Write it on your heart that every day is the best day in the year. Ralph Waldo Emerson. It is not in the stars to hold our destiny, but in ourselves. William Shakespeare. Always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any other. Abraham Lincoln. Ring out the false, ring in the true. Alfred Lord Tennyson. I don't know where I'm going from here, but I promise it won't be boring. David Bowie. You know how I always dread the whole year? Well, this time I'm only going to dread one day at a time. That's Charlie Brown, right? To improve is to change. To be perfect is to change often. Winston Churchill. And I like this next one. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step, Martin Luther King. And I'll end with this one. You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. C.S. Lewis. Well, last year when I called my parents to wish them a Happy New Year, my dad answered the phone and I said, "Well, Dad, what's your New Year's resolution?" He said, "To make your mother as happy as I can all year." He answered that proudly. And then Mom got on and I said, "Well, Mom, what's your resolution?" And she said, "To make sure your dad keeps his New Year's resolution." You know, resolutions are hard to keep. So I usually don't make them, honestly. I don't want to fail at my resolution. So instead of making resolutions I know I can't keep, how about this? I'm going to try and hang tight on this resolution. The resolution that God has already made for me. You see, God is the only one who is guaranteed to keep every resolution he makes. Amen? Our God, the creator of the universe, the king of this world, and the one to come is the only one who is completely faithful and true. So I have an idea. This year, instead of making a New Year resolution we know we can't keep, why don't we resolve to hold fast to Jesus? Or better yet, why don't we resolve to let Jesus hold fast to us? Because we know that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. So now let's turn to our primary text that we're going to read in chapter 43 of Isaiah, verses 1, starting in verse 1. Isaiah was written over 2,500 years ago. Let that sink in. Isaiah was written in approximately 700 BC. And it was written during the time period when the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel were exiled in captivity in Assyria, which is modern-day Iran. This passage is going to give us guidance for the new year. And it's going to give us four steps to a healthy new year. So let's read this together. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. Skipping down to verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So verse 1 starts with, remember what God has done for you. And that's my first step to have a healthy new year, is remember what God has done for you. He created us. He redeemed us. He called us by name. He is, of course, speaking to the Israelites in this passage originally, who are in captivity in Assyria, but the whole book of Isaiah is really a parallel of our life with Jesus. In fact, the book of Isaiah is often called the fifth gospel. It's amazing how many passages are also referenced in the New Testament and in the gospels. When it says, the whole book of Isaiah, it says that he created us. This means he created us not only in the general sense, as in we live and breathe, but also as believers created in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. He's talking to us. He's talking to us. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Redemption means to buy back or to pay off the ransom. In the case of the Israelites, God destroys the Babylonians, and brings them out of slavery and out of exile. It's quite a miracle if you think about it. In the case of us as believers, God buys us out of spiritual slavery. How? By dying on the cross for our sins. God redeems us with his very life, but he didn't stop there, did he? In addition to giving us a new life in Christ, he called us by name, and then he punctuates it by saying, you are mine. You are mine. The God of the universe that created all that we see declares ownership over us. That still blows me away. That the God of the universe would declare me adopted into his family. And here's the thing. When God owns something, he never loses it. He never loses it. We are secure. We've been bought with a price. We can rest knowing that we are safe in his arms, protected in his kingdom by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what's the first step to have a healthy new year? Remember what God has done for you. Remember you are his creation. You are a child of the King, redeemed by his blood, called by name, adopted into his family. Remember what God has done for you. Now let's look at verse 2, and this is step number 2 to a healthy new year. Number 2 in 16 and 17 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. The Lord will make a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Wow. The number 2 step to have a healthy new year, for those of you taking notes, is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. Verse 2, God goes back several hundred years to the time when the Israelites were set free from slavery by the Egyptians. Remember that? The Egyptians were chasing down the Israelites, and they were coming up on the Red Sea, and it seemed hopeless. All was lost. It was very hopeless to think we're about to be destroyed after we just got released from slavery. They were penned in, but God. But God opened up a path through the water, and the Bible says that he literally stacked the water up in a heap. Then over 1 million Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry land. The Egyptians were following them in their chariots and horses. And when the Israelites passed through safely to the other side, God caused the water to close up and all of the Egyptians were destroyed. So when he says in this verse, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, they knew what he was talking about. Through any potential obstacle, I will be with you. Even going through deep waters, I will be with you. What about you? Are you going through deep waters? Many of you have been through deep waters this year. It's been a challenging year for many of us. God says, I will be with you. They knew that God was saying, no matter what you're going through, don't be afraid, I'm with you. And God says the same thing to us. He says, I got you. Or as my youngest son would say, I got you, fam. He's cool, I'm not, but I'm trying to get there. Over 100 times in the Bible, God says, fear not, or do not be afraid. I think he means it when he says it that many times, don't you? It's one of the most often repeated phrases in the Bible. Fear not, do not be afraid. Some of them are used in a sense of comfort, and some of them are as a command to not be afraid, to trust in him. I remember one time when I was so afraid of something, I was paralyzed with fear. One summer about 20 years ago, I was leading a group of students on a high ropes course, and I was pretty confident, some might say cocky. I'd never been afraid of heights, and you know, I'm this young buck, and I think, oh, this high ropes course, this isn't going to be a problem. And so I went through most of the course, most of the elements of the course, and then I came to the element called the pamper pole. And have you ever heard of the pamper pole? Okay. The pamper pole is an oxymoron, okay? And basically, it's a 30-foot pole, maybe 40 feet, I'm not sure exactly. But it's a pole about 12 inches in diameter, buried in the ground and just straight up in the air. And the goal of the pamper pole is to climb to the top, to stand at the top, and to jump off. And that's it. That's the goal. And you might think that's easy. Just listen in here. So I got harnessed in, okay? So I'm wearing a harness. I've got a rope. The rope is tied to a cable. And, you know, I've got these little handholds, and I'm climbing up. I'm all, you know, cocky. I'm going to, you know, get to the top of this pole as fast as I can. I get to the top. I put one foot on the top of that pole and frozen. I was completely frozen. I was shocked that I was frozen, and I was just sitting there, which it felt like for eternity with one foot, just staring at that foot. It was like I was literally paralyzed. And I was looking at my leg, and I'm looking at the pole, and I'm looking out, and I'm like, move, move. I'm literally talking to my leg. And I couldn't move. I was frozen there. And it felt like an eternity. It was probably only about 45 seconds or a minute, but forever, just sitting there. Nothing happened. Everyone's, you know, yelling up from the bottom, "You can do it, you can do it," you know. But I was frozen. And finally, I calmed my mind. I calmed my mind and my heart. I closed my eyes. And I said a little prayer. And I thought and I visualized and I said, you know, I know that I'm connected to this rope. This is a very strong rope that they tell me can hold like 10,000 pounds. And this rope is connected to a strong cable. And so I know that it's really strong and secure, capable of holding me safe even if I fall. And it was only then when I was able to, as I opened my eyes, to simply step up and jump. You see, when I stared at the obstacle in front of me, when I stared at my foot and I stared at the pole and I looked at the ground, I was paralyzed with fear. But when I stopped and removed my focus on the obstacle and reflected on what was keeping me safe, the rope and the cable, it was keeping me safe, I was able to move forward in faith. And I tell that story because this is exactly what God wants us to do with our spiritual life. God wants us to step up without fear. He wants us to stop focusing on the obstacle, stop focusing on the problem that is in front of us, and instead focus on who is keeping us secure and who is keeping us safe. Who took the Israelites through the waters? God did. What about when we're going through trials? Must we walk through the fire? Then we shall not be burned. When God is with us, he is for us, and who can be against us? Israel had and would have their trials, but we have ours also. Trials are inevitable. It doesn't say in the text, if you pass through the waters. It says, when you pass through the waters. The text doesn't say, when you walk on a luxurious padded carpet, I will be with you. No, it says God will be with us in the toughest of circumstances. See, trials are varied. Sometimes we face waters, sometimes floods, sometimes fire. And the mention of the Lord's presence and protection in the fire reminds us in the story of Daniel that the three sons of Judah cast into the Babylonian furnace because they would not bow or bend to worship an idol. And what happened? They were preserved in the fire by the presence of God, Daniel 3. With God, we don't have to panic. We don't have to fear. We don't have to run as if we don't trust him. He can strengthen us in our trials so that we can walk through the fire without fear. So number two is do not fear. The Lord is with us. Number three, stop dwelling on the past. Let's look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. This is an interesting contrast to verse 1 that we just read, where he tells us to remember what he has done for us. Well, which one is it, God? Are we supposed to remember or are we supposed to forget? Which one is it? Well, as Isaiah wrote prophetically to Israel, they were mired in the desperate circumstances of captivity and exile. And God wanted to put their eyes on the new work he would do. So he began with a reminder to not remember the former things. You see, we need to remember who God is and where he's taken us. But we need to not dwell on the obstacle and the problem that we have. God wants us to put our eyes on the new work that he would do. So he began with a reminder to not remember the former things. If they were stuck in the failure and sin and discouragement of the past, they would never go forward to the new thing that God had for them. You see, Israel was told to look to the past by remembering the great things God did for them at the Red Sea. But in Isaiah 43:18, he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. This shows us that there's a sense that we must remember the past in terms of God's great work on our behalf. But where we must forsake and forget the past with all its discouragement and defeat and move on to what God has for us in the future. How about you? How about you? How many of you are stuck dwelling in the past? It's hard. How many of us are still lamenting a failure from 20 years ago? Or maybe you're recounting a hurtful conversation you had 10 years ago with a friend or a family member. Many of us dwell on our past sin or failures or our past hurts, and it ends up holding us back, paralyzing us, holding us back from what God has for us today. You see, God wants us to move forward. He wants us to remember what he's done for us, but then move forward in the strength, the faith, the confidence, and the hope that comes only from walking with Jesus. In Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul declared, One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is God calling you to? Paul said that if we can do just one thing, it is this. If we can do just one thing, forget about the things in the past and reach towards the things ahead of us, which is the call of Jesus. Isn't this amazing? We could read all the self-help books. We could listen to all the podcasts, read all the quotes, read from all the great authors that have great opinions and thoughts. But let's take it from two guys, Isaiah and Paul, who basically said the same thing. What did they say? Forget the past and focus on what God is doing now and press in to follow him. Number four. Our final step for how to have a healthy new year. Verse 19. God is doing a new thing. Let's follow him. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some of you right now may feel like you're in a wilderness. Some of you may feel like you are in a desert. And God says that he will make a way in the wilderness. He will bring rivers to your desert to refresh you. God wants to do something new in our life, and he does it through Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And in Revelation 2:17, we're told that through Jesus Christ, we receive a brand new name. This God of miracles wants to do a great miracle in our life by erasing the past and giving us a bright future and a hope. All of the Bible revels in God's hopefulness, doesn't it? The Lord will create a new thing on the earth. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Jeremiah 31:22. And ultimately, in the end, when Jesus returns, there will be the final new earth and new life that will last for eternity. Revelation says there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, "See, I am making everything new." Revelations 21. God did a new thing in my life and my family in 2017. I was working in a great job as an executive in medical sales, living in Philadelphia. We had a great house. The kids were happy in a great school. We had great friends. We were serving at a great little church. And things were great. But God said to me, "I want to do a new thing in you." And I sensed that God was calling me to more. I sensed that although I was serving God, I was really only giving him the crumbs. That was the picture that he gave me. And so in 2017, we let God do a new thing. We remembered what God had done. He had redeemed us, and he had called us by name. We stepped out in faith despite our fears, trusting what God was that God was with us. We forgot about some of our past hurts and our failures. And we followed God into a new thing that he wanted to do in and through us. So I quit my job, we sold our house, and we moved across the country to Seattle, Washington, and accepted a call into full-time vocational ministry. And we've never looked back. The road has had many obstacles, a lot of pain, some tears. We faced some enemies and some trials of fire, not literal fire, although we did have a kind of a fire near our house, which is another story. But God has carried us through. God has never left us. God has been with us. God is with us, and we are with him. In summary, here's the point of this text and really the whole sermon. If you only remember one thing. God wants you. God wants all of you. All of your mind, all of your heart, all of your body, all of your time, all of your talents, all of your treasure. He doesn't want the scraps or the crumbs. I believe for many of you, God wants to do a new thing in and through you this year. I don't know what it is. But I believe for some of you, God wants to do something new and big in and through you. But for all of you, God requires the same thing, that you follow him, that you follow him, that you pursue him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Notice I didn't say some of your heart, some of your mind. God wants all of you. This is the great commandment, isn't it? The Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him the question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And they were trying to trick him. And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Notice he didn't say some of your heart, some of your soul, some of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then we usually stop there, but I love this next part. What's the next part? It says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. He summarizes the whole Bible, all the law and the prophets, on loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbors. Isn't that awesome? Some of you may be fearful right now. And you may be fearful because you're sensing that the Holy Spirit is prompting you. Maybe that the Holy Spirit is going to ask you to do something scary or hard, right? That's really what preachers do, is we ask you to do scary, hard things. But guess what? You're probably right, okay? But don't be discouraged. Don't stop listening to that still, small voice. If God is speaking to you, I would encourage you to lean in close and listen. Don't shut it off. If God is speaking to you, lean in close and listen. Is he saying to you, forget the past, forget your past failures, forget the obstacles, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. And when I do it, I will spring forth. It will spring forth. He says, it will spring forth, and I will make a way in the wilderness. What's your wilderness? What's your desert right now? And what is God calling you to step into? Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm not a prophet, but I do know the promises of the Bible are true. Amen? And this is what I know to be true. If God wants to do a new thing in you this year, he will be with you with every step of the way. We simply need to trust him. We simply need to pursue him, to walk closely with him, to spend time in his word, to spend time in prayer, both talking and listening. Let's try to do more listening than talking. And when we do, he will take care of the rest. What is God calling you to do? Maybe it's step out and join a small group. We have tons of them. We'd love for you to join one. Maybe you've never been in one, or you're a little nervous to jump in one. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's join a Bible study. Maybe it's sign up for the men's retreat, or come to the women's tea or a women's Bible study. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's to go on a mission trip. Maybe it's to quit your job and move to Seattle. Anyone, if you want to do that, come talk to me. I'll give you the 911 or 411. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? Let's pray together. Father God, Lord of the universe, creator of all that we see, you've created the heavens, the stars, the sun, all that we see, and yet you still care about little old us. You still know us by name. You know every hair on our head. You know our hearts. You know what we need. You know what we want. You know what we don't need. And Father, we place our trust in you, whatever that looks like. Wherever you go, we say, yes, we want to go. God, if you want to do a new thing in our hearts, do it in us, God. If you want to do a new thing in our life, do it. Maybe for some of you here, you've never placed your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I would encourage you to do that right now, even where you're sitting. Just to tell Jesus that you trust him, that he died and rose again for your sins. But God, whatever you want to do in our hearts, help us to put the things in the past behind us, trusting you and moving forward, following you, God, with whatever you want to do in our lives this year. May it not be about some gimmicky exercise plan or fad diet or anything like that. Not that those are wrong, but God, may it be about knowing you more, trusting you more, and following you wherever you want us to go. Father, we place our trust in you, and it's all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.